Welcome to Jewish History with Rabbi David Katz, connecting the human side to Jewish history. For sponsorship opportunities or to support this podcast, please visit our donate page at www.support.rabbidavidkatz.com.
Hi, it's still Monday morning. Since I'm going to roll and have some time, let me do the podcast for Mishpacha Stefanski, which has to do with, unfortunately, it has to do with current events and with the upcoming Pesach. What I mean is, I see in Baltimore it's going to be, I was just informed, Baltimore is going to be when these Arab type demonstrations in front of a big shul, in front of Shomer Emunah. I think that's what they said. I understand there was such a thing in Teaneck, the B'nai Yeshurun, I think, if I'm not mistaken. And similar, this is happening around the country. And this is part of the war that's going on in the Middle East. But there is two fronts. There's the one in Gaza, and then there's the one in the diaspora in Chutz Lartz. And it's very interesting to me, scary but interesting, because it's clearly part of a plan. The Arabs are not dummies. And if you want to attack Israel and take Israel down, there are two ways of doing that. No, there are two ways of fighting a battle. One way is to fight against an enemy army. That is one, no question about that. And the other way is to get to their supplies and their logistics. Many famous generals in history have been able to pull off, you know, great battles and victories, and maybe they didn't have to fire a shot if they maneuvered in such a way to cut off the enemy force from its supplies. Think about that. It happens in a lot of wars. And actually, in World War II, I mean, that was the American plan for Japan. I don't know if it didn't exactly work out the way they planned it, but they were going to cut off all the Navy, then no supplies would come to Japan, and the country couldn't carry the war, and if they didn't have any gasoline, if they didn't have ammunition, and that sort of thing. So if you look at Israel, they're not dummies. Israel's supply depends, obviously, on its army, that sort of thing. Yes, that's true. And also depends on support from the U.S., and that is true. And Biden so far, I keep saying, well, all the time is, he's sending him a ton of stuff, you know, even as they speak. Because even if he criticizes this or that in the CUDA, and I'm not underestimating the negative impact of those criticisms, but the thing that really counts is they're still sending all the weapons. And the most advanced, I think I saw sending F-35s and things like it's the most advanced, you know, airplanes. Because, as you know, again, I'm not a specialist, just a little that I read, a belt of the stuff is being done by the Air Force. That's Israel's ace in the hole, right? The Hamas doesn't have an Air Force. And Israel does, and they could do pinpoint bombing. A lot of times you'll see they got this important Arab leader or this Hamas guy or whatever, is the Air Force. You understand? So as long as Biden keeps supporting that, so that's one line. And they're going after that, as you know, criticizing Biden as they're not going to vote for him and all that sort of thing. But that's not what I'm talking about. A third one is the Jewish people. I mean, Chutz Lartz, particularly in America. What is Israel's relying on? The American Jewish community. They have to. Because the American Jewish community can't have influence in America. America's the number one supplier of stuff. It's still the richest country. And even though this country has many problems, it's getting worse, Gehak the Tsaris, because of bad policies, that's a different schmooze. But still has a very powerful and resource-rich country. And you hope the Jewish politicians and the lobbyists and the others, AIPAC and so forth, have some kind of hashpa, and they do. And the Arabs are going after them, and that I think you understand. But they're going even beyond that, down to the, as they say, the Jewish communities themselves. and they're attacking verbally these synagogues and having demonstrations with the idea of wearing down the very base of the support for Israel in this country and around the world, but mainly it counts in this country, by trying to make the lives of their everyday Jews miserable when they have meetings to support Israel or whether they're having land sales and things of this nature. And they really are, like a wing of the Hamas. That's how they regard themselves. Fighting on a different front. And if they can mess up the American Jews and prevent them from having any influence into politics, or if the Democrats ever put up a Muslim or something like this for president, vice president, which could happen, then Israel's really got the tsaros. And they know this. And that's what they're pushing on. And they're well aware, because of Esau, son of Yaakov, as I mentioned last time, even though the Hamas perpetrated terrible atrocities, it's the nature of feelings, the Esau, son of Yaakov part, that the more you do bad to the Jews, the more people dislike the Jews. Not everybody, thank God, but there are plenty. I'll repeat, the more they do bad to us, the more people dislike us, which is somewhat counterintuitive, unless you take into mind that there is Esau, son of Yaakov. I mean, it's just the way it goes. I'm speaking from a historical perspective here, not just bloviating. I am bloviating, but like I say, I think, at least I tell myself I know what I'm talking about, which is interesting. And the reason I mention this connection in Pesach is because what we're seeing right now is a certain campaign going on in this country and around the world, but I'm speaking about in Baltimore, in New York, in Teaneck, and other places. And what's going on over there? Vayarei osona mitzvim vayanunu. We're about to have in the Haggadah Shel Pesach, where we read the different parts, as you know, of the Vidi Bikorim or something, right? Vidi Meiser, whatever it is. And the Darshan. And we're going to read in the Haggadah, as you and I know, the Pesukim from the Chumash, where it says, Vayarei osona mitzvim vayanunu. How do you translate that? So the plain meaning is, if you look at the regular translations, from the word ra, isn't that how it goes? The Egyptians mistreated us. They did bad to us. They mistreated us. And then they tortured us. They afflicted us. And they put us on slave labor. That's the regular way of translating it. And I get, however, sharp-eyed Mefarshim call attention to the fact that it should say Vayarei Ulonu HaMitzvim Vayanun. That's how you say it. Vayarei Ulonu HaMitzvim. The Egyptians were bad to us. If I do bad to you, then it's Lecha, right? Ani Maria Lecha. I'm doing bad to you. Even English, you say I did bad to him. But it doesn't say it. It says Osanu. Vayarei Osanu HaMitzvim Vayanun. So Osanu is like a direct object, like what's going on over here? I remember from 100 Haggadahs I've seen it, and so have you, that Vayarei Osanu means that the Mitzrayim, way back when, demonized us. They made us bad in the eyes of the Hamonam, Vayanunu. And then they could proceed with their campaign to physically harm us, Vayitnu Alayna B'Kasha, and put us under back-breaking slave labor. Vayareu osanu ha-mitzrim, vayanunu vayitnu alenu bodakosha. And the idea goes like this. You can't just take a group, even the Jews, who until now everything was going good, and they were brought into Mitzrayim in the time of Yosef, and they were shepherds over in Goshen, and they're more or less minding their own business. There had not been an organized campaign of anti-Yisraelism till then. But now, whoever organized this slavery of the Jews, and it's not clear from the Midrashic sources, some say it was Paro, some say it was the people against the will of Paro, doesn't even matter to us, right? who there were those who did it, right? The faces and the identities are not clear, which is why you have different, you know, traditions in the Agadata. But somebody didn't like the Jews and wanted to enslave them, to hurt them. But you can't just do that, Stamazoi. First, you have to make an argument and get it accepted by the Homonam that these people deserve to be tortured, deserve to be hurt, deserve to be discriminated against, and actually, Ad Kedei Kach, deserve to be enslaved. You're taking a whole bunch of free people and enslaving them. Think about that. Usually, slaves in the old world came from wars. You understand? I'm talking about long ago, biblical period. There was a Mechama, and what you and I today would call prisoners, they made them Avonim, Avonim Shvachos. The Jews did that too. Kisikra Avalir, how's it go? Vayam Shalom Tancho, you make them Avonim or something like that. So that's the typical way you made war. And of course, once a guy's a slave, or a girl's a slave, they're in the slave market, you know, they could buy, you know, I get it. You can buy and sell them in a capitalistic way. But the way you became slaves was usually that way. I don't know offhand, thinking over here, just sitting down now doing this podcast, I don't know offhand where you had a situation like you had in Mitzrayim, you had a whole group of people, actually who were doing quite well, right? So let's call them middle class and upper middle class. And then you go overnight and enslave them. Like how'd that work? You get what I'm saying? Like, how'd that work? It's not the regular derech. It wasn't that there was a war and people fought and lost and were captured and carried off and so forth and so on. It was all done in the context of peace. And the context of people who had the right under the government to live there. But it happened. And so by Yareu, son of Mitzvah, by Anunu, these unfortunately will say like this. They started enhancing the resentment of the Jews. Maybe, as I told you before, that they were, how does it say, Vatim Molehors or some, again, the direct object, Vatim Molehors or some, by Yishur Tzubayar, by Yishur Tzubayar, Bimod Ma'od. As I always say, people are so hooked on that Chazal, they forget the push-up shot. We all say, ask anybody, and they'll remember from Rashi, they had Shisha Bekeres Echad. Everybody had sextuplets. Six kids at a time. Because Paru and Vayishurtsu, Vayirba, Vayasim, Mod, it's six times. What's the plain meaning of it? They spread all over the country. And they went into real estate. Vatim Malayas or some. And next thing you know, they're buying up stuff right and left. The next thing you know, they're opening a synagogue in Jackson. You know, that sort of thing. And one could Maria Osam, demonize them and say these people are bad, they're a threat, they're acquiring too much. You know, they're not acting like guests over here. I mean, you can make the argument. And if you make the argument successfully, people come and hate you and will regard you as a threat. And then, if you're a threat, it requires drastic action. Okay? And then, you can take a group who is living in peace until now, and all of a sudden they're not living in peace. You understand? All of a sudden they're subject to this mass enslavement, which really must have been an interest. I mean, I'm not saying this in a what's the right word, sadistic way. I don't know if you ever thought about it. They had a whole group of people, I mean a lot of Jews, and they weren't poor. And the Egyptians show up and say like this, we have a new policy, we're taking away your car, we're taking away your karka, you know, we're taking away your barn and your summer home and this and that and the other. Actually, for all I know, they were taking away your house. They probably lived in nice houses. I'm moving you to dormitories. If you hold like those who say yes alachatz, as a dechak des alachatz, do a dechak, the imamish moved them from nice homes in Lakewood, you know, in Muncie, to dormitories. I mean, meaning slave barracks. We saw this with Hitler, in terms of taking people away from their regular homes, moving them to concentration camps. I'm not talking about the extermination part, the camps. And then next thing you know, subjecting them to heavy physical labor. Backbreaking labor, actually. But it all couldn't happen unless it was preceded by a reus on them. My friends, that's what's going on right now. When we have these, and they're doing it on purpose with this idea in mind. They're trying to make it by a reus on them. Then anything pro-Israel in the slightest, anything Jewish, it's going to go from pro-Israel to Jewish. Right? Is itself something worthy of demonization. I predict you'll start to see things about Jewish racism and passages from the Talmud. And I don't know, all the classic stuff from the past. And sadly, this catastrophe that's hit us called the internet, which has, you know, been a game changer and transformed all of life and civilization, is going to be, I hope I'm wrong, the easy medium of spreading all this via Reo Osono Mitzvah via Nunu. And the purpose is via Nunu, to go and do something bad against the Jews here in America and elsewhere. Will they succeed? Obviously, you daven not. But I'm just telling you, this is clearly to me the plan. Right? So if they're organizing, and they're going to have constant demonstrations, and they're experts in doing the demonstrations. The people in the synagogues who are responding, I mean, what experience do they have in professional demonstrating? The bad guys, I'm very serious. You know, they've taken classes and things like that to, you know what I mean, to practice the tactics of making a demonstration and getting your point across and not letting the other person get their point across and developing slogans and one-liners and all that, which are good for the media, et cetera, et cetera. Maybe the American Jews are going to have to learn to do the same thing. I don't know if it'll work or not work. If all the Yidden will put their mind to it, we could do it. Because it's a matter of organizing, you know, what's the right word? Public discourse. No, there's words. And we're good at that, if we want to be, if there's money in it. but we haven't had to do that. And now you're going to have to do that. So my mom was holding by your radio song. Now, this very much reminds me of a famous medrash, or it'll be famous in a second, in B'Shalach, where you see they talk about going after the supply system or the logistical base of the enemy. But it's talking about what the B'nai Israel did to Paro, what Hashem did to Paro. This in B'Shalach, pretty much at the beginning over here, where it says, it's a pasuk, Mesig Lachamor, it says, Mashal Paro Lamad Dabar, I'm reading from the Medrash now. It's not me. Mashal Paro Lamad Dabar Doma, Leroa Echad Shei Ruch Hazir, imagine a guy who was a real, this is what they say, who was a shepherd for pigs. Matzah Rachel Achaz Mashach Benayim. He saw a Rachel, right, a young lamb or something, and it was not a pig. And he took it. In other words, he stole it. Shalach Baal Esav Bemtein L'Recheli. To the owner of the Rachel, right, said, give it back. He denies. I know what you're talking about. La'adam. The guy says, oh, that's how you want to play it? Okay. Amr Habal, so the owner of the Rachel, right, the sheep says, Hodila Mechum Ashkem Esav. Show me where he waters his animals. He's a shepherd too. He's a shepherd of pigs. Where's his water supply? Hochavo did. They told him where it is. And he clogged up the wells. So he can't make his animals drink. Shlachli Rachel. Then he says, okay, give me now my sheep. The guy said, La Hadan. I don't have it. Hodil Mehechon Humarbis Mahamoso. Show me where he, you know, feeds the animals, the grass and things like where they graze. Hokhva Dorosa Srifim. He knocked down all the huts and where the pigs were protected from the sun. See, he's going after his supply system. You understand? He's not making a direct... I mean, he didn't go and fight the guy directly. Apparently, he couldn't. But he said, I'm going to try it again on the logistics, on what's holding him up, where he waters the animals, where he has them rest. Shaka Rechel Melchor, same thing. Now, give me my Rachel back. He said, I don't know what you're talking about. Hechen Ro, show me where he's grazing. Besarvis call Yisrael Shailor, and he burned all the grass. And so, in other words, meanwhile, the guy who is defending his Rachel, the one he stole, is losing his entire supply system. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, it would have been better for him to let go of the Rachel in the beginning and spare himself all the vast financial losses that he's incurring. He asked him again, where is it? And he still denies it. He says, I'm going to really get in. It's mamish like the Hamas is protesting in Teaneck and Baltimore. Show me where his kids go to school. He went and kidnapped a kid from school. So in other words, I ruined your water and your grass and the tzrifin, the huts. Now I got your kid. The guy said, whoa, if you got my kid, that's too much. He gave it back to Rachel. Right? Gave it back to Rachel. But the guy would not give the kid back. He still held on to the son. He said, why? Why are you not giving the kid back? I gave back the Rachel. What else do I owe you? He said, I want damages, as we say today. You got to pay me for whatever the Rachel produced in terms of vlados, children, and wool, and so on and so forth. No, even when he gave him back everything, it wasn't enough. He had to pay for back damages, for losses, as we'd say. And made the guy so angry, so I wish I never would have given him the sheep back, because there's no end to his demands. Now that, they make this a mashal, par in the Bnei Yisrael, all the rest of it. But this style that I just told you about is mamish, to my mind, what the Arabs are doing. They're saying, surrender or give us back. No, we'll burn down your water supply. We'll burn down your grass. We'll burn down your tzrifin. As we would say today, we'll go after the American government. We'll go after the Jewish community. We'll go after the Zionists. We'll go after anybody who supports Israel. If there's a meeting in a shul to support Israel during the war, we'll go and demonstrate against them. Right? And even if you gave in to them, it wouldn't be enough. Because then they say, you have to give us back all of Israel has to go out of existence. And even then, they say, and pay us for, 70 years or 100 years, whatever we would have made. No, there's no winning with them. The key point, the reason I'm mentioning this is, you have to see the reality in front of you and know that you have to fight back. But since we're talking about Vayarevason, demonization, yeah, we have to learn the skills of fighting back against this kind of demonization. It's not a pretty picture, but I think that's what we're holding now. Anyway, I'm going to get to the cross, and it strikes me very much, now that we're in the shadow of the Pesach Seder, who knows what they want to do around that time. They'll say, let my people go, meaning people in Gaza. I could just imagine. If I was working for them, I could come up with a lot of slogans also. But don't think the fight is only in Eretz Yisrael. Unfortunately, the fight is in our front yard as well. It's not a happy thought, but I think it's a realistic one. And anyway, that's what I have to say today. I want to thank Mishpachas Stefanski, as always, for sponsoring this and give me a chance to make a connection between the Pesach season on the one hand and current events, unfortunately, on the other. And with that, I wish you all a good day.
For sponsorship opportunities or to support this podcast, please visit our donate page at www.support.rabbidavidkatz.com.